Hello and welcome to Nebraska Prep Zone Report, a podcast from the World Herald. We are sponsored today by MD West One, Nebraska's most advanced sports medicine, orthopedics, neurosurgery, and spine care covering Greater Omaha for over 70 years. I'm your host, Jake Anderson. Joining me again is Mike Patterson. Mike, we are glad to have you for some volleyball today.
Hi, Jake. Long time no see.
I know. It's been a while. We have a lot to get to today, and we are previewing the state volleyball tournament. As part of our state coverage, we'll have another podcast later this week for football. But, Mike, it's a loaded bracket this year. Every single class, I was looking at it this weekend, and we've had 2 days to digest it. It came out Saturday night. What's your overall thoughts?
Well, I'd agree with what you just said, Jake. I was looking at all the brackets today in anticipation of my long-awaited prediction column. And, you know, a lot of times I can look at the six brackets and I'll think, okay, I feel pretty good about three, maybe four of these, but you know, this year, I'd say maybe I feel really good about one, and that's kind of iffy. So, I think that just goes back to the well-balanced nature of the tournament and the format these days where they play that last round of districts on Saturday, kind of that last chance to play. You know, everybody but Class A plays that. So I think that helps guarantee that we're going to have a great field again this year.
I was looking at it, and in my amateur, I was like, oh, well, a lot of these, oh, the one seed, that's the obvious favorite. But I was looking at it, and I'm like, a lot of these, the five seed could end up winning it.
Not just the five seed, the eight seed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I know we're going to talk about Class A. And like I said, sometimes Class A, it's like, okay, I think that team is maybe just a little better than everybody else. And, of course, for the most part, and we'll get into this, this year it was Papillion La Vista, but look who the number eight seed is in Class A, and you tell me that Millard North doesn't have a chance to win this thing. So let's talk about Class A.
Yeah, let's dive right into it. My note here, Papillion La Vista, Millard North, everyone loses except for the fans.
Well, it's a difficult situation, as we know, Jake, that Millard North was forced to forfeit 14 wins because of using an ineligible player. And you know, when that happened, that not only put Millard North in a tough situation, put a lot of Class A teams in a tough situation. I'm going back to the Metro tournament, and Millard South played Millard North first round, and Millard South got beat. Millard West played them the second round. Millard West got beat. Moving ahead to the districts, Marion was the unfortunate team that Millard North dropped into, and Marion lost that very compelling five-setter.
Yep.
And as a result, Marion won't be going back to state for the first time since 2000. So I think we have to put an asterisk by that one on Marion not making it to state this year, because it really was extenuating circumstances. But
when a 10-24 team is in the bracket, I think there are a few asterisks to be handed out.
Right. You know, I'm just guessing, but that's probably the quote-unquote worst record of any team in any class down there. But maybe the best 10-24 team in the nation, because Millard North is really tough. They're playing really well later in the season when McKenna Ruck came back from the broken finger she suffered early in the season. And that first match, you could say that might be a state championship match right there. A lot of the other Class A teams probably have something to say about that, but you know, Papio's been number one all season long. They finally lost one match in the Metro tournament. So 36-1, they've been great all season. And Millard North, like we said, definitely not a 10-24 team. They should be 24-10. And, you know, really, they shouldn't be a number eight seed, but they are. So that's just the way it is. So,
and having that happen to your team can already be a galvanizing force, because it's, oh, it's us against them. And then you get McKenna Ruck back, who's one of the state's top three best players.
Right. Right.
Can we pencil that winner into the state title game?
I don't think we can quite do that, but I think, like you said, it's almost become a rallying point for them, and that, you know, they had to fight off a match point at Marion in the district final. So to come that close to not making it is really to the Mustangs' credit that they were able to fight through and win that. Now, can we pencil that team in to the final? I probably would say no, and again, it goes back to the balanced nature of this Class A field, and I look at that other half on that top part of the bracket. You got Gretna playing Millard West, Gretna began the season with a win at Millard North. The Dragons have been really good all season long, and Millard West, the Wildcats, they've been solid too. So I definitely would give the winner of that match a shot at either Papio or Millard North.
Yeah. And then the other side of the bracket, the first thing in Class A that caught my eye, well, after Papio and Millard North, a potential Pius Elkhorn South semifinal. And I'm not saying that Papio South, Titans are always tough, and Millard South are slouches. A Pius Elkhorn South semifinal could rival that Papio Millard North game.
Right. You know, that could be in some people's minds, that could be two of the top mm-hmm. teams right there. Elkhorn South's been number two almost all season long in Class A. They just won the Metro Tournament. Riley Gray, Nebraska recruit, and others, very good team there. And Pius, last year's runner-up. The Thunderbolts have had a very solid season, 29-6. They've almost flown under the radar just a little bit because of the great things that Papio has done this season. But I've seen Pius play enough times in any sport down at the state tournament. They bring every kid in school to support them. They're going to have that great support, I'm sure, all the way through the tournament. So, Papio South and Millard South will have their hands full in the first round. But, again, Class A, really balanced.
Yeah. We've covered every team here, and your picks column is coming later this week. I believe it'll be in Tuesday's paper. But if you had to pick not the winner here, but a favorite and an underdog.
Well, Jake, I think you still have to stay with Papio as the favorite. 36-1, number one all season long. We'll see how they do against Millard North. That's going to be a very tough first rounder, as we've mentioned. But I think they're the number one seed, top ranked, only lost once all season long. Granted, that was late in the season to Papio South, but they still deserve that favorite role. As far as a quote-unquote underdog, I don't know if you call a number four seed an underdog. I think Gretna is a very dangerous team. And, I'll go down to number seven, Papio South.
Yeah.
They've been doing some really good things the last couple weeks. Only team to be able to beat Papio this season. They went into Millard South and won that district. So the Titans are playing really well. So I think you could look at them as a possible underdog.
I don't think it would shock anyone if they were in the state title game.
Wouldn't shock me.
No. Knock off Elkhorn South. I mean, you already beat the number one seed. Well, I'm looking forward to this bracket, but I'm looking forward to every bracket, including Class B. And all season, we've been saying the Skyhawks, they're going to be right there. Just put them in the state title game. Scott doesn't have an easy path to the title.
No, they don't. I would be surprised if they struggled with Hastings in that first round. That would set up a semifinal against either Platteview or Norris. Norris has probably been the third best team in Class mm-hmm. B this season, behind a team we'll probably mention in just a little bit. And Platteview's had one of their best seasons in a long, long time. So I still would be very surprised if the Skyhawks don't make it to that championship match. But like you said, it's not exactly an easy path.
And then the other side, the team that we're thinking of, Waverly here, they don't have an easy path either. They're the number two seed. They'll face Grand Island Northwest, a very tough seven seed. And then the other match there, Sydney against Omaha Duchesne. And you saw Omaha Duchesne this weekend.
Right. I saw them in the district final on Saturday against Seward. They took care of business at home, 1-3 straight. Veteran team for Duchesne. I think that showed up. Seward only had one senior. And the Cardinals just really took it to them from the start. And I think Duchesne against Sydney, that could be a really good first-round match. Sydney's mm-hmm. one of those teams that's got a great record. A lot of times we're not really sure how they're going to fare until we see them down at state tournament, but I've heard good things about them this season. So that could be a good one. And we mentioned Waverly. They've been the second-best team in Class B behind Scutt. Grand Island Northwest, tremendous tradition there. Yep. Been there for years and years. So another great first-rounder. I think I've got to give the edge to – they're both the Vikings.
Yep.
I'll give the edge to the Waverly Vikings there. They've Coach Terry Newyear's done a really nice job this season. They had a couple of transfers come in that solidified their team this season. So I look for Waverly to move on and kind of skipping ahead. I'm probably going to predict a Scutt-Waverly 1-2 matchup in that final because they've been 1-2 all season long.
That's the one that everyone's been looking for. We mentioned it last week with football. This is another one that everyone's been looking forward to, Scutt-Waverly in the football playoffs. this would be an underrated volleyball. Well, not underrated for me, but underrated for a lot of people. Good matchup, Scott Waverly, if it happens.
Right. Like you said, switch over to football, and those yep. two teams could be on a collision course too. So,
good rivalry.
Great rivalry between those two schools.
So we've mentioned the favorites, Waverly, Sydney, obviously Scott. Who's the underdog here?
Oh, looking at the bracket, I guess I'll go down, like you said, I was there seeing them on Saturday, but Duchesne mm-hmm. has really been good the last few years. I think they've been to state 5 years now in a row. Their coach, Andrew Worley's done a really nice job. I could see Duchesne winning that first rounder against Sydney, and then, you know, they might give, I'm expecting Waverly to advance in that semifinal, and hopefully Waverly's not looking past possible Duchesne to Omaha Scott, because, yep. You know, Duchesne has got some quality players there too. So as an underdog at a number six seed, I guess I'd go with the Cardinals.
We'll see what happens. Jumping to Class C1 here, a pattern. I'm going to be a broken record here. The number one seed has a tough path to the title. They're the lone undefeated team in the bracket. St. Paul, 33-0. We talked about them a little bit last week. What do you think are their chances of getting to that title game?
Lone undefeated team in the state.
Mm-hmm.
And only team that hasn't lost a set.
That's my favorite stat.
Perhaps in all of America. I don't know. That is just so out there for me to think that they didn't lose one set the whole season. And, you know, they played some good teams along yeah. the way. So, but, yeah, St. Paul, I think right off the bat, they've got a tough one with Battle Creek. And the winner of that would play either Wayne or Broken Bow, and that's two quality teams right there too. So, like you said, in theory, the number one seed has a little easier path mm-hmm. along the way. That's why they are the number one seed. They've deserved it. They've earned it over the season. But St. Paul is going to be tested, and here's where we go with they're undefeated. Is that going to be a little added pressure for them at the state tournament?
Yep.
I've seen it before. I've spoken with their coach, and he said that they've handled every challenge so far this season, and the fact that they haven't dropped a set yet, he said that, you know, they've had some sets that were tied at 18, tied at 19, and they've still been able to pull on through. So he said that's a tribute to their ability to focus on every point, and boy, you sure need that at the state tournament. So
yeah.
We'll see what St. Paul can do at state. They've had a great season, but I'm looking at a couple teams looming on the other half of that bracket yep. that could pose a barrier for them.
And before we get to the other half of that bracket, maybe the best number five seed of the tournament, Broken Bow.
Right. Yeah, I think, let's see, yep, 32-2. And they have defeated Wahoo this year. That's the one that really got my attention. Wahoo, the two-time defending champion. And, you know, I think they're going to be one of the tough teams again yep. this year. Like you said, Broken Bow, a great season. The Indians taking on Wayne that first match. We'll see how they do.
And then the other half of the bracket, we mentioned them. Wahoo, 28-3 against Norfolk Catholic. Lincoln Lutheran against Chadron.
Right, and I'm looking at two specific teams there. I just mentioned one is Wahoo, and the other one's mm-hmm. Lincoln Lutheran. It seems like in the recent past, last few years, they keep playing in the state tournament, either for the championship or in the semifinals, and they're two great rivals. Wahoo graduated two of their top players, the coach's daughter, Ellie Larson, and 6'4 inside Kyla Swanson. Anytime you lose a 6'4 player
yeah.
middle, you're going to miss her, but they've done a really nice job of bouncing back from that. They're 28-3 in Lincoln Lutheran. You can't say that to school without mentioning Mariah Buss, who is going to finish her career as the number two overall in kills in the state behind Kyla Roerig, played for Papio. There's no way that she can catch her unless she averages about 40 or 50 kills in three games at state. But, you know, Mariah's had a great career. One thing missing on her resume is that state championship. She'll be going on to Wichita State next year. Great career at Lincoln Lutheran. But, you know, Wahoo Lincoln Lutheran looming on that other side. And I'm thinking probably we'll play in that semifinal and the winner maybe to move on against St. Paul.
Yeah. What do you think are the chances Buss could get that title this year?
I think it's definite possibility. Lincoln Lutheran, like I said, one of the top teams. They're very close to Wahoo. So it always seems to come down to at state tournament. There's just 1 point, 2 points, and just a little bit of momentum swinging one way or the other can make all the difference. So here's where we'll see how Wahoo, being the two-time defending mm-hmm. champion, several players back, how much is that going to help them if they do make it to that semifinal against Lincoln Lutheran? Lincoln Lutheran, probably the hungrier team,
yep.
haven't won that title, got Bus. Who knows once she graduates if Lincoln Lutheran will get back to this point. We'll have to wait until next year to say that. But I definitely give Lincoln Lutheran a yep. chance to maybe win all of C1.
All right, Mike, who's our underdog here?
Well, let me look over this bracket again. And we probably mentioned one of them, Jake, which was Broken Bow. They've got a player named Velasic who's really good. She's got 400 kills this year. She just went over 1,000 in her career in both kills and digs. Broken Bow, 32-2, as we mentioned. They've beaten Wahoo this season, so that tells me quite a bit. Let's go with that number 5 seed, Broken Bow, as a possible under-the-radar team.
All right, and before we get to our last three classes here, I want to take a minute and again thank our sponsor, MD West One, Nebraska's most advanced sports medicine, orthopedics, neurosurgery, and spine care, covering greater Omaha for over 70 years, mdwestone.com. C2, another loaded bracket. My note here, any of the top 4 seeds could win the title.
I would definitely agree with that, Jake. I might go even deeper than that. Wahoo Newman is sitting there at a number 5 seed. We know they've always been really good in Class C1, dropping mm-hmm. down to C2 this year. And, you know, there's a couple other teams that are even down lower than that. But I think if you really want to zero in on who you think probably has the best shot at winning it, probably one of those top 4.
Yep. And the 2 seed, Superior, my question here, I'm going to put you on the spot. Does Superior have the best player in the state tournament in any class?
I would say one of the best. Kaylin Meyer is a great player, but when you got Lindsay Krause playing for Omaha Scut, mm-hmm. and she was playing for Team USA and playing in Egypt at the start of the season, it's really hard to dismiss that. So, and there are other great players out there. We mentioned Mariah Buss and various others in Class A.
I ask that with no disrespect to all of the great players.
Yes. Kaylin Meyer is a great player. I do not dispute that. And a great athlete. 2-time World Herald Athlete of the Year. That's only been done once before. She's possibly going to be the first athlete to do that 3 times in a row, which is just...
No spoiler alerts.
Staggering. No, I'm not ready to give it to anybody yet, because we're not even through with volleyball season yet. But... you know, Superior, and here's the thing about Superior. Kaylin's a great player, but her little sister is very good, too. Mm-hmm. She's had, I think she's second on the team in kills, and she's not that far behind her big sister. So,
She had a strong showing at the state track meet last year as well.
Right.
Or spring.
Their height gives a lot of team problems at the Class C2 level, you know, with Kaylin out there at 6'3". Thing about Superior, they won it 2 years ago. They didn't win it last year, so they've got a little added incentive this year. So I think Superior, tough first match against Wisner-Pilger. Veteran coach Gene Groth has done a really nice job over her career. But I think Superior, I believe, and then, you know, if Superior wins that one, Grand Island Central Catholic might be mm-hmm. waiting in the semifinals. And again, talk about a veteran coach. Sharon Zavala, the only one who has more mm-hmm. than 1,000 career wins. So if any two coaches are going to cook up something to try to keep Superior out of that final, it's probably those two. But, Superior going to be tough, but we better talk about that other half of the bracket, too.
Oh, yeah, I'm looking at Hastings-St. Cecilia right there. I think this is the latest we've gone into any bracket without talking about the number 1 seed, and that is no slight to St. Cecilia.
Right, 32-3. Great athletes out there in all sports. We mentioned St. Cecilia before. I believe they went to state last year as a number 6 seed. They were maybe a year away. They didn't win at all. I believe Blue Hill came through and confounded me. That was the only one of the 6 brackets that I didn't predict last year. But Blue Hill didn't make it this season. But St. Cecilia going to be very tough, and they would, if they can pass that first test, they would be playing the winner of the Norfolk Lutheran Northeast, as we like to call them. Mm-hmm. Lutheran High Northeast, as the NSAA calls them, and Wahoo Newman. So that's pretty good first round or two. But you know, if I had to go out on a limb, Jake, I'd probably be skipping ahead and say the top two seeds, St. Cecilia and Superior, probably a collision course in that final.
That would be another fantastic final. Moving on to Class D1 here, Broken Record again, another loaded class. And I looked at the bracket last night, and I picked out the mouth-watering potential semifinals. And granted, top four seeds, so I'm not going out on a limb. But how great would this be? Number one, Pleasanton, 30-1, against the defending champions, number four, Fremont Bergen, 28-11. And then on the other side, number two, Diller O'Dell, 33-1, against number three, CWC, 30-2.
You know, it's pretty rare to get to this point in the season, Jake, when you're talking about teams that only have one loss, mm-hmm. no losses, two losses. So, again, that speaks to the quality of the volleyball in this state through all the classes. And Pleasanton, the number one seed, like you said, 30-1. I'd have to think that they're going to defeat Central Valley in that first round. And if they do, Bergen's got a tough matchup against Overton in their first rounder. And, you know, when we were talking about records, Bergen's record is 28-11. To the uninitiated, you might think, oh, that's not very impressive. But they play a very tough schedule, toughest in D1. And, you know, their longtime coach, Sue Wewell, I was just speaking with her yesterday, and she said that tough schedule is one of the reasons why she has a good feeling about hopefully the Knights repeating this year, because they have played that tough schedule. They are the defending champions. They lost three very quality players from last year that graduated, so they've had to fill those holes. But, you know, Bergen and Pleasanton in one semifinal would be an incredibly good semifinal. Could be a final any other year. And the other half of the bracket, you mentioned Diller O'Dell and possibly CWC, and that's two more really good teams. Diller O'Dell been ranked number one much of the season, 33-1. So they loom as, I think, maybe the best team on that other half of the bracket. I don't really know how a Pleasanton-Bergen semifinal, if it comes to that, would turn out. You know, I told you I'm kind of working on my prediction column, and I put some thought into these things, and it's like, you know, on the one hand, you got all the intangibles of Pleasanton, the top seed, and only lost once, and on the other hand, you got the defending champ and the tough schedule. So it's not easy to try and hash this stuff out.
There's a reason you do it, and not me. All right, so anytime you pencil in the top four seeds into the semifinals, it happens every year. Where's the upset?
Well, let's go down to number six, Hardington Cedar Catholic, another school with a lot of tremendous tradition. CWC, Chambers Wheeler Central, has a better record, 30-2. Cedar Catholic, again, you look at that record, 18-12. But, again, a very tough schedule. I don't think it would surprise me if Cedar Catholic can make it through that game. So then, of course, they'd have to face possibly Diller O'Dell in the semifinals. So we will see about that. But I'd say possibly Cedar Catholic. And, you know, I think Overton could give Bergen a good test in that first round, too. So, you know, a lot of it, Jake, is, yes, our predictions. But when you got the bright lights of the state tournament down there, you're just never really sure how these teams are going to deal with it. And I think it is a big advantage to the teams that have been through it and that have some returning players coming back that can remember what last year was like. And because sometimes it really shows if a team has never been there or hasn't been there in a long, long time. And it's like, I don't blame them.
For some of these smaller schools, if they haven't been to the state tournament before, they're not going to some of these larger tournaments. This is their first time in this environment.
Right, right. And, you know, even playing in a big arena, it can throw off the depth perception. Mm-hmm. I know the Class A coaches have told me that they like the fact that the Metro tournament is played at the Ralston Arena because it gives the players a chance to play in that large
good
facility.
Prep.
Right. And, yeah, the depth perception's a little bit different, and when the ball's floating over on serves, it seems to do something a little bit different. So Yeah, that's, again, some of the intangibles of the state tourney.
All right, our final class here, and my leadoff question, a 21 or 29-1 team is the number four seed?
Right. Speaking of Garden County, so, yeah, I don't know what to say other than the fact that's what it is, and, of course, these are the seeds are based on the wild card points, so someone smarter than you and I has figured out that maybe Garden County's schedule hasn't been quite as tough as some of these other teams that have played, so that's why a 29-1 team is seeded fourth, but we'll see if that can often work as incentive. You know, hey, you're not going to respect us with that 29-1 record. We're going to show you at the state tournament, so we'll see what Garden County can do.
All right, who's the favorite in this one? Number one seed, Lawrence Nelson, 29-4?
I would say a very slight favorite. I've gone back and forth on this one. This is another one on the old prediction column that I've been, pardon my expression, stewing about. But, you know, Lawrence Nelson is the top seed, and BDS has been our number one team most of the season. They're down on the other half of the bracket. They're seeded third. And I think I had BDS number one, and then Lawrence Nelson beat them in sub-state. So then I had to put Lawrence Nelson back up. They're going to be number one in our next ratings. Spoiler alert there. But, yeah, Lawrence Nelson, the top seed. Why not the number two seed on the other half of the bracket? BDS, the number three seed, and our good friends Garden County at 29-1. Can't forget them. But I think we've talked about this before, Jake, that D2 always seems to be the most unpredictable, maybe because of what we were talking about as far as the big tournament atmosphere, the lights. You got D2 schools, very small schools that aren't, a lot of them aren't used to playing in that situation, maybe haven't been there before, so you're never really sure how they're going to react. So I think that might add to some of the unpredictability of D2.
Speaking of that unpredictability, who's the underdog? Where are our upsets coming?
Well, I'm going to look at a number five seed, Humphrey St. Francis. They're playing Garden County.
Yep.
So St. Francis is 22-4, another school that's got a lot of tradition. They're there regularly, and I think maybe that could play to their advantage. So I wouldn't be surprised if St. Francis can pull that upset in the first round. And I'm going to go down to the number seven seed, another team that seems to get there every year, Fall City Sacred Heart, 21-13, tough schedule. They bring a lot of fans from Fall City. Why not? I think of them more for their basketball, their girls' basketball success. They've won several championships.
And led to some classic headlines.
Right, yeah, that's right. That's right. You can always have a little fun with the why not and that, but that doesn't dismiss what they do athletically, and they just seem to keep getting back there every year. Like I said, not so much volleyball, but for sure in girls basketball, which tells me they got some, usually it's at the D2 level, it's mostly the same athletes playing volleyball and girls basketball. So I know Why Not has the athletes, but Sacred Heart has a great tradition, and it wouldn't surprise me if they could pull that upset off over the number two seed.
Definitely. Well, I want to thank you for joining us these past 2 weeks. I feel fully prepped for this state tournament that is filled with fantastic athletes. I know we say that every year. If you want some good quality volleyball, and Nebraska fans know good quality volleyball, or the state of Nebraska does, check out this state tournament in Lincoln. Check out Mike Patterson's coverage. Where can they follow you on Twitter?
M. Patterson, OWH, Jake. And they can find me updating not only the matches that I'm at Pinnacle Bank Arena or the Devaney or whatever, but we try to get updates on a lot of the other matches too. So that's the place to be.
And we'll have coverage at anyprepzone.com. Until next time, thanks for listening.